This episode is brought to you by Fat Expats. It's the new expat magazine that's coming your way next month. If you'd like to find out more about it, head over to twofatexpats.com. You'll see a pop-up and you can sign up and we'll shoot you some information. Hello, Nikki Moffat. How are you?
Well, I'm fine, thank you, Kirstie Rice. But do people say that anymore? How are you? Is that appropriate greeting during a global pandemic?
So to set up a little picture of what's happening, I am now sitting in the back room of our beach house in Australia. Nikki, you're sitting in, where are you in your house in Hamburg?
Well, I'm not in my study because I've been removed from it by my returning husband. And I'm now, my office is now in the dining room, which is nice because I get a lot more space. So I'm in the dining room of my apartment, which is my personal office now.
It looks like you've got a bit of morning sun there coming through the window. Hurrah!
We do have some morning sun. It's -3, but it's sunny.
Now, Nikki, I just realised the last podcast we did, it was all about, okay, I'm evacuating and homeschooling and whatever. Mm-hmm. So that must have been on the Monday. And then, of course, on the Tuesday, when I was meant to be flying out that night, my husband went off to have a colonoscopy and we received the news that he had bowel cancer. So our world sort of turned a bit upside down. And I'm just saying it in the podcast because I think anyone that follows maybe Two Fat Expats in our Facebook group or Four Kids 20 Suitcases would be aware. But those that don't, that's what's happening in my world now. So we have not only we've got all sorts.
A little bit more going on than frequent hand washing and conserving toilet paper.
Yes. Yeah, we start chemo tomorrow, or he starts chemo tomorrow, and he's actually just told me he has to go in tomorrow morning. He's going in to have something called a port put in, which is how they administer your chemo. If you choose to go down that route, some people don't. They just have a PICC line and some people get jabbed every time. But he's going in to have the port in the morning and then he'll have the chemo in the afternoon. But, of course, I can't go with him because I'm not allowed to go into the hospital.
Oh, my goodness. Yep. So you can't go at all. Would you normally, you'd normally be allowed to go?
Absolutely. You would have someone sit there with you and keep you occupied and, you know, go and get you something to eat if you needed it or whatever. I had a couple of girlfriends do chemo with me, but especially even just for the operation, I would have gone just to sit by his side, you know, sort of calm the nerves before you're going in and getting knocked out and all the rest of it. But no, so, you know, all these things under these conditions change. So just interesting times.
Oh, gosh, Kirstie, I didn't even think about that when we've been discussing that. That's so tough for you both. Mm. I guess Greg has never done it any other way, but you of course have been through it before, so you know what's going to – I'm sorry that that's the case, but you know what's going to happen and how – I mean, yes, obviously every person's different, but how it's going to feel and what all the scary things are and all the, you know, the different feels and things. Yeah. So, gosh, that's so tough. So do you – pick him up or
yes.
How does that?
So I'll drive in the morning. I think he's going to be at the hospital at 6:15 in the morning and then just wait.
Oh, that's nice.
Yes. And then just wait for a text. So, yeah, just so weird. And, you know, we had to have a meeting with a GP and I imagine this is the same in Hamburg, but at the moment now in Australia you don't go to see the doctor anymore. You have a phone consultation with the doctor. So, you know, Greg's having to say to this GP because his usual GP was unavailable, but like sort of tell the story and you're over the phone like all kind of talking over the top of each other and try, you know, it really makes the whole patient, you know, doctor relationship very unusual.
Now, and also then normally if you had to drop someone off and then pick them up later, you could just go and stay with a friend and they could help you and talk you through it and calm your nerves.
Exactly.
And that's not available to you either.
No. And we have a little, you know, apartment in the city that my daughter lives in with her housemate. But of course, under current circumstances, my daughter has moved home to be with us because she wants to be with her dad and university is no longer, you know, something that you go to. It's something that you log into. So she's come home, like, to keep us all safe so that we can isolate together. But I can't even go to the apartment because her housemate is there. And, vice versa with we don't want to meet each other. So it's like, okay, so I'm going to drive all the way back and then just wait for the call. But, hey, in the big scheme of things, it'll be fine. I'll listen to podcasts and do whatever and get back to work when I get home. But, yeah, it's just interesting how every little facet of our life is different now.
And that's right. And so it's so difficult. So it is important for us to keep coming to you from our relevant locations through everything that's going on and what is yet to come. So if you guys will, our podcast listeners, can bear with us while we establish what the balance of our podcast will be. So the main topic of the world today and information that covers other things. We're not taking lightly the fact that there's a global pandemic or its repercussions, which as expats, we're very vulnerable to just as much as the rest of the world. But sometimes it's also nice to have an escape, a place to go to where you don't hear or see or talk about the C word. So we're going to try and balance out the episodes as much as possible. And we will, as everyone else is doing in their day-to-day life, just adjust as we go, because every day is a new adventure, particularly in your house, Kirstie.
Okay, so we usually have four fact questions at this time. So maybe out of those four, perhaps if we just make one the main topic of the day. So, Nikki, I was going to ask you, can you think of any other time in your life where we have been so globally connected?
It's quite interesting, right? So extroverts, we're suffering. The extroverts of the world are not doing well. My child is not doing well and I'm not coping. Yesterday I went into every other room in the house, to my office where my husband is and to both of my children's bedrooms, and every single person was on a legitimate call, a school call or a work call, and I couldn't talk to any of them. And what is the point of being isolated with three other people if I can't talk to them? I mean, it's very hard, but that's on the one stage. On the other hand, I mean, I have heard from people and contacted people that I have not in my 17 years of expat life, I have not been regular contacted people. And I've just sort of people that I know, for example, in South Africa who are going into 21 days lockdown by themselves. And in South Africa, it's quite serious because you can't buy alcohol anymore. So
are you serious?
To reach out to those people. Oh, yeah, no alcohol and cigarettes for 21 days in South Africa.
How come?
That's part of their lockdown.
Now, why is that?
It's not considered an essential service. So in South Africa, you've never been able to buy alcohol on Sunday. So all the supermarkets and stores have big cages that they can shut and lock, so that you can't sort of pick up the alcohol to take it to buy on the way out on a weekend or on a Sunday. So as part of the lockdown, they classified alcohol as a non alcohol and cigarettes as a non-essential product, but they actually, I understand, have lifted the cigarette ban. So you will be able to buy cigarettes from some particular place at some particular time over the 21 days.
Well, there's my new learning for this morning. I didn't know that.
Well, there you go. You see, and that's the thing, because you think you know everything that's going on because there is so much news all the time about one topic.
Yes.
But there's always little nuances and bits and pieces that are different as we go. But back to the globally connected point of view and side of things, I do feel that as long as your Wi-Fi is working, I mean, I've never been to so many Zoom meetings or hangouts in my life.
What about house party? Have you entered the world of house party?
I have not entered the world of house party because my Friday night drinks have been on Zoom, so I haven't had to do that. And then my work things, we have 15 people on one screen, so Zoom is also the answer to that. But my daughter is a house party aficionado, or whatever you call that, and she does a lot of her schoolwork while on house party.
We're finding it really interesting because, of course, in Qatar, we've been on house party since the blockade because we suddenly couldn't use Skype or FaceTime or any of those things, right, without a VPN. So my children, it's been really interesting because they've always had certain friends at their house party with, which are their international friends, you know, from their Qatar yeah. world. And now every man and his dog in Australia has joined the world of House Party, and they are all finding it fascinating and fantastic and wonderful and whatever, because, you know, they're working it out. And my kids were saying they're finding it really hard in that, oh, you've popped up in here in this room that I'm usually in with, you know, these other people, and now you're part of this world as well. I've found that quite interesting in that, you know, I've constantly all day my House Party notification goes off telling me yet another Australian has joined, yet another Australian has joined, yet another Australian has joined. Like, it's just gone bananas, House Party in Australia.
Oh, that's really interesting, because I hear it. It's, I mean, there is House Party, but it's more the kids be using the House Party and the adults be using the Zoom. Mm. So any sort of coffee dates or drink, Friday night afternoon drinks, I've been on Zoom as opposed to House Party.
I think we need to do a two fat expats Zoom, Nikki. Like, maybe we need to have a coffee morning, a Zoom coffee morning for our two fat expats who, you know, are feeling a bit isolated.
Well, you can have up to 48 people on one Zoom screen. Yeah. So there's that.
Yeah.
I bet we could fill one of those. Let's make a note. What about you, Kirsty? How about you? Have you ever felt so globally connected?
Yeah, I think I thought of this question as, to me, this is the first time where everybody's actually been on the same page about the same conversation, and not the same page as in we all have different ideas about self-isolation, et cetera, but as in, usually within the expat world, you have to clarify, you know, biscuits v. cookies, diapers v. nappies, rubbish v. trash, but the language is all the same, and we're all, you know, concerned about the older population. We're all concerned about emergency services and enough respirators for people, and everybody's talking about the same thing. I cannot cope with the fact that there seems to only be one news item at the moment. That's all we hear about. That I am finding very difficult. But it is interesting to see the entire world talking about the same thing at once.
You could not write a horror movie or a sort of global pandemic movie that would follow along these lines. Like, you just, every time you turn on the news, like the other day it popped up on my screen when I was working, Boris Johnson tests positive. Mm. So I was just like, and then here is his little Twitter thing where he's giving a little sort of to the camera about, I'm fine, everything's good, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, you just, that kind of thing, it's so weird. Like, it feels so connecting, but it's not necessarily, because we're all still sitting in our homes all looking at screens. Mm. But it's such a weird feeling that, and people, like, I've just kind of, it's quite an interesting feeling inside me, because I've kind of just let go, and just any expectations, and people say, oh, this is going to be terrible for this and terrible for that. I said, and I, in my mind, it's just like, we can't even tell what's going to happen. Like, it's just, this is so unprecedented, never in our lifetime, whatever experience. Like, you can't even tell where it's going to end. And the speculation about where it's going to end then is difficult for me and problematic, because people obsess about when will the stock market pick up or this or that or the other. And I'm like, you can't tell. You don't know. Like, it's, don't wear yourself out. I just have this really weird feeling about it. It's weird. I'm not really sure how to explain it. I haven't done a good job there.
No, I don't think I have a normal, I don't think I really have any idea how I would have reacted to this, because for me, but I have that much going on with my family. And so for me, what I have chosen to do, because of the fact that really all of my the only thing I can think about is my husband going to be okay? You know, how's this treatment going to go? How long will we be here in Australia while he has this treatment? Is this the right treatment for him? And then kind of pushing on through that, it's like the whole, well, how long will my youngest son stay here and how does that work and how does his schooling work and when do we make those decisions and whatever. So I found that I became so completely overwhelmed with all of that because of course, behind all of that is the whole coronavirus of, you know, well, does this mean what would happen if he got it? What would happen if someone in our family got it? How would he come through that? Whatever. So what I've found is that I just can't think beyond 1 week. And that's the only way I can get through life. And I've never been like that. You know, Nikki, that I'm a massive long-term planner and I love to have everything mapped out for this is going to happen here and then this is going to happen here and this is going to happen here. And all of a sudden I can't do that at all. And so for me, It has been quite strange. I am so angry that there's no football to watch, but so understanding of why there is no football to watch, do you know, like that's my big thing is because I think too in my head I had it that, you know, last Thursday my husband and my youngest were meant to be getting on a plane to fly to Australia where we would all meet for spring break and we would all go to a football game on Saturday night and it was going to be amazing. You know, and you sit there and you go, we are so far from that world in every possible way of, you know, we are so far from that normal world. And yeah, so I don't know. I imagine if you are a really anxious person that is struggling with this time, that is my piece of advice to anyone is just try not to think past this week.
No, and I agree with that. And whenever I get and you know, and our listeners may not have the same concept, but I have been obsessed with coronavirus since January and tracking it and following it. And so I don't know how I've quite come to this place of the letting go thing, but whenever I think about all these problems, I just think, well, I'm not Kirsty, am I? Like, and I'm sorry, and that's not really, that's a really bad thing, but it's like,
it's a lovely
you've got to be
thing.
Real.
It's like, a lovely
there's,
thing.
There's people going through this shit that, again, sorry, people, that really so many levels of complexity on top of everything else that just you don't have, you can't feel sorry for yourself. Like, you can't feel, you know, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like you are dealing with so much stuff and therefore anything I have to deal with is inconsequential.
And I don't want that to be the thing. Do you know that? What is definitely not my thing, but that's...
No, but that's how that helped
me. Right. Good. Nikki, if you had to do a TED Talk, what would the topic be?
Well, I tell you, it wouldn't be coronavirus because there's 7 billion people in the world with their own story. So I've got nothing there and there's nothing special about my experience. So I would have to say that I recently went to just – it seems so long ago, but 3 weeks ago at my children's school, they organized a TEDx youth.
Right.
And it was so impressive. It was like being at a TED Talk. Now, I've never been to one, but I've seen plenty of videos of them. And, you know, they set up with all the same, with the same letters and the same everything. Like it's just like, and the same lighting and, well, it's fancy. And they had these kids from school do the TED Talks. And they've been practicing, you know, all year and they spoke just like real TED people. Like it was just, you know, it was just one of those things where you think, oh, I'm just going to a school thing.
Yeah.
And then it was like, wow, this feels a lot more than that. Anyway, beyond that. And so I did think about if I had to stand up and speak, what would I talk about? And I really think I don't, you know, the older I get, the more I realize how little I know about the world and any one particular item. But I would say that probably for me, the easiest thing to talk about and the thing I have the most experience with is the last 17 years of being a globally mobile, neurodiverse family. So expatting while with neurodiversity would be my answer.
Now, for those who don't know what neurodiversity is, can you explain?
Sure. So the neurodiverse movement is based on the fact that anyone who is inverted commas or air quotes normal is a neurotypical. So your brain operates in a way that is like 90% of the population. And then the people whose brains work differently. So there's people with autistic people, ADHD, all sorts of other sort of mental health related items are part of the neurodiverse community. So the way their brains work is not exactly the same as everybody else. And you just got to go with that. So, yeah. So in our family, we have a wealth of neurodiversity that we have discovered along the way. So, and I would say that's one key skill I have when you're moving to a new place or, you know, making a new community and finding out all the things you have to find out and also transitioning your whole family, because it's not like a normal transition, I would say.
Mm.
So that's it for me.
Yeah.
What about you, Kirsty? If you had to do a test,
I think, you know, front and center at the moment would be what to do when you both get cancer, because I don't know if there's many people that have been as clever as us where they've both gone and got it. Or maybe what not to say to someone with cancer. And I think, you know, I had forgotten all of this from when it was me. And I remember writing something about what not to say, you know, five years ago. But yeah, I think there's a lot of things you could not say, like, you know, telling people how they're going to cure their cancer, you know, what they need to do to do that, or to just sort of look at you.
Is there some essential oils involved?
Some turmeric, some spirulina maybe, you know, or just sort of look at you shaking their head going, you know, I had someone recently who I'm pretty sure isn't a podcast listener, so I can say, but, you know, sort of stand there and shake your head and just go, oh, my God, you know, what are you going to do? Like, especially with this coronavirus, like, how are you going to make sure he doesn't get it? And, you know, you're just standing there thinking, I am so overwhelmed right now. You are not helping me at all with that look. Oh, dear. Do you know, and I have, you know, I've been to the hairdressers where I've come home and had to get in a fetal position and go to bed because the hairdressers just fired question after question about, oh, my God, like, what are you going to do? But how would that work? And you're thinking, I don't know. I don't have the answers.
Hang on. Hairdressers are open.
See, this is amazing. This is the difference from 2 weeks ago. See, I guess that's it, isn't it? So when I flew home, and this is how fast our world is changing, right? Because I don't know. I think hairdressers were in Australia still open up until a couple of days ago. I think they might be closed or closing now. But yeah, when I arrived, because I've been back 2.5 weeks, which is a very important piece of information for anyone in Australia who's wary of someone that's only been in Australia for, you know, less than 2 weeks. But, so it feels like a lifetime ago. But, yes, I did go to the hairdressers. I won't be going to the hairdressers anytime soon, though.
Kirsty, how will expat life change when this is all over? What do you think?
I wonder. Do you know, I saw a post pop up today in the Two Fat Expats group where someone was asking about, do you have a house in your home country, or do you have a house or a base, you know, in any country that you can go to? And I wondered about that. I wondered, will expats feel the need now to have a bunker, you know, to go to in case something like this happens? Or will expats simply, you know, just always make sure that they've got 2 weeks' worth of food at all times? Will expats be so keen to be expats anymore? You know, has this jaded them in some way of what it is to be away from family and friends? Will they be less likely to keep pets? I've seen people who said they wanted to evacuate but couldn't because they couldn't leave their pets. You know, for us, we have a 16-year-old beagle, and we left in a massive hurry for my husband to get here to have a second opinion and whatever. And, you know, like G said this morning, there's so many things he didn't bring home with him because he thought he'd probably be here for a couple of months, you know, and he's probably going to be here for a lot longer. But and also the places that we think about going, you know, like most of us would have coveted the idea of going to Italy and Spain and being an expat, whereas are there expats in Italy and Spain who are currently really, you know, in a dire situation? And not dire. I mean, it's not, you know, it's not like we're at war, but, you know, there are some people that are really, really can't see the headway of how long this is going to take for them where they are. So I don't know. I think these are all questions, like you said, Nikki, we don't know, because it is a week by week proposition at the moment. We don't know. But I think, yes, it will change the expat world. What do you think?
Well, I agree that I go back to this thing of the whole world is so changed. Like, I was listening to a podcast yesterday that I rarely listen to, but there were so few options on my download list that I thought, oh, I'll listen to this one. And it was actually a podcast between a guy in Germany who finds jobs for international people and Pat Flynn, who obviously I was interested in listening to.
Yeah.
And they were talking about how, you know, a lot of expats will lose their jobs over this period, and what that is that an opportunity, or how does that all look? And they said, you know, the world will never be the same. Like, there will never be a question of can we do business differently, because everybody in this time has had to find a way to do something differently. And so, be it a business thing or a non-business thing or whatever, like, everybody has to find a way to do things differently. And I think that expats will be different. I think what you said about will people decide that they don't want to be an expat anymore, I agree. I think that there will be a group of people that decide, okay, we don't want to do this anymore. Like, we've made the decision now that it's time to go back to our home country. I think there'll be other people who say, now's the time for adventure. Like, this made me realize that I really want to go and do this stuff. So then they'll go and do something.
Yeah.
But I have to say, this is the first time in my whole life that I've ever been in a situation when I cannot get to Australia even if I wanted to. So because what happened was Singapore stopped accepting transiting flights from Germany, because Germany is a very big, we're a hotspot. And so there was no way to go back through Singapore. And then Emirates started grounding their fleet and not flying. And there was just one point where there was one day where I realized, even if I wanted to go to Australia right now, I couldn't go. And it was very confronting, I would say. It's really the first time in my life where I've thought really cut off. I've always thought, well, you know, if anything happens, you just get on a plane, you go home and you're fine, home being Australia. And so for me, that was really, and then I thought, where would we go? What would we do if we went there? But that wasn't the point in the end. The point was, I just couldn't get there. And it was a weird feeling. It was a weird feeling. I still can't get there, I don't think. But, and if I go, I have to go into some terrible 4-star hotel for 4 days. I say terrible 4-star hotel in air quotes. Sorry.
Yes, because people are being so badly behaved about that, aren't they?
They are. Anyway, so it's just that to me was a real realization as an expat that or someone that doesn't live in Australia full time. But I was a bit confused about people who were traveling and just got stuck where they were. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you travel, do you not follow any news? I mean, what happens in that situation? Do you think I'm just going to have these extra 5 days?
I know. I just simply don't understand that either. I'm not sure what planet you were on when you were still thinking a week ago, oh, it's okay, I've got plenty of time to get back to my home country. No, you didn't, and you were told, and how could you possibly think that? My sister was telling me about someone who went on holiday from Australia to Cambodia, you know, in the last week and a half, and then was surprised that they had to hurry up and get home, and, you know, is now horrified at the idea that they're going to be put into, you know, isolation for 14 days. And it's like, I just don't understand. But I think is that because we are travellers, Nikki? Is it, you know, that we've seen this sort of thing at a much smaller scale in the past, but we've watched it also unfold. Like I've been very surprised, you know, within our Two Fat Expats group, this conversation has been going since, you know, early January, where people from Hong Kong talked about the virus and then all about schools shutting down. And, you know, we watched it wave. It's, you know, it came through like a wave. We all knew it was coming. And, of course, nobody could ever think that we were going to get to this level. But I don't know. I don't understand why you'd be heading off on holiday in the last 10 days.
No, not even in the last 2 weeks when there are already things in place. And I've had family who, not super close family, but, you know, see them on Facebook all the time, write notes. They just recently returned from a holiday in Fiji, and I'm pretty sure they left like after the first things were in place. And I was horrified, and I was just watching there every day in Fiji, and everyone saying, "Oh, have a great time," because it's pretty awful over here. You know, there's all the social. And I was thinking, what the hell? Anyway, they snuck in before they had to do the hotel stays, and so they're at home. But I was just thinking, what are you doing? But I think that is an expat related thing, like that you just think, can't you see what's going to happen next? Like it's just going to go downhill. And there were, you know, in photos in Fiji of full restaurants at resorts, like totally full. And because I think Fiji has very few cases. And so, Fiji relies on tourism income. So I have no argument against Fiji accepting them as tourists, but
Is it also that if you've lived in a democracy where you really haven't felt, and I don't know how to say this properly, but maybe you haven't felt the same sort of government intervention as you have felt that if you've lived perhaps in certain parts of the Middle East, Asia, Africa, you know, I know when we lived in Libya, we felt at all times that the government had full control to do whatever they wanted to do, right? And that we would have to obey government rule. But is it, if you've lived in a very, you know, democratic world, you just don't believe that the government can suddenly start to enforce certain rules? Like it is like something out of, you know, you and I both watched Years and Years and absolutely loved it, right? Well, we are now living in Years and Years and only months later, where the government comes, you know, crosses across your television screen and your radio every morning. I know in Australia at the moment, it's every morning and every evening the Prime Minister comes out and he gives you an update and he talks about what's happening and whatever and what the new rules are. Like we keep getting told, no, the rules have changed now. Here's the new rules. This is what we're going to do now. And here's the new rules. We're not going to do that now. We're going to do this now. And so is it that you've just lived in this state of, you know, where you've never had to think about that. And so you just think, well, of course I can go on holiday because my government will make sure that I can get back in and I can live my life and I can go to work and I can do whatever because I'm from one of those countries.
I think that's true. I also think that, so I, on one hand, I know what all the restrictions are in Germany because I watch them. I don't, you know, I watch them in German and then I look for an English translation because I can't understand every single thing every time Angela Merkel comes out to speak. But I also feel a little bit removed from it. So I believe this government has the right to do whatever they want because this is their country. But I also don't think like it's not my country. Like yes. I live here and I will respect these rules and I will follow them, but it's not my country. Like I've got another passport and my country doesn't do this.
Yes.
Maybe they should, but no, but so it's just, it's kind of that feeling of, and when we lived in Hong Kong and South Africa, oh, that government, yeah, crazy. And that's what you say, like when you live in a house, like will you rent somewhere and you're like, oh, I really hate that light fitting, but you know, it's not forever, so I can live with it. Whereas yes. If it was in your home country, you'd be like, I cannot live with that light fitting. It must be changed immediately. Even if it was a rental, maybe just because it feels more permanent, or it feels more like it's forever. Yeah. Whereas now you sort of have this other thing. But I totally think that, and I just think you're right, we are living in years and years. And at the time we thought we were living in years and years, but we were so wrong.
And if you haven't seen Years and Years, now's a great time to download it and watch it.
I'm not sure if it is. No, Kirsty, last question. Will you be using this opportunity of extended time at home to Marie Kondo your whole house and sort and donate all your worldly goods as appropriate?
Absolutely. I love this stuff. I'm very much, I hate a lot of crap. And so, yes, I've already sorted summer v winter. I've already got a red bag of stuff out on the pavement because there's a collection that comes by on a Tuesday. And I got so excited when that bag came and I thought, oh, they're still doing it. But I guess they are staying isolated. So I have great plans to go through the laundry and completely get the laundry sorted. You know, I'm halfway through the pantry. That's definitely my thing. I love it. Love it, love it, love it. How about you, Nikki Moffat?
No, I think no matter how long I'm in lockdown for, I'll never Marie Kondo my house. I'll do all the projects that I've put away for a rainy day. I just have to accept I'm not that person. I did tidy my computer cords the other day and I was quite happy with that. And I felt a great sense of achievement. But I look at my cupboard, my wardrobe, and I think, oh, do I want to start that? Because that's like a black hole that will take me days. And I've got to do work and I've got to do I'm supervising two maths assessments this week in our online schooling. And I've still got to make I'm still the sacrifice that goes to the supermarket every second day. So there's all these things going on that I was like, and if I start on my wardrobe, that's never ending. And I won't like to look at the pile because I have to be in the room.
While we've been on this call and I'm wearing this blue and white striped sort of top, I've already decided it's going. Like when I get off this call with you, it is going in that red bag out the front to the lady. Because I've been sitting here the whole time going, this neckline, I'm not happy with it. This is ridiculous. This has to go. It's going. Okay, Nikki, moving right along to our three favorite things. I have been looking for far more sort of soothing, relaxing, trying to stay away from all hype sort of stuff, understandably, online. So I don't know how to pronounce this, but we will put the link in the show notes. But if you want to have a look and pop this into your Instagram, it's CNLIZIQI. So CNLIZIQI. It's on Insta. It's a woman who's a Chinese filmmaker who has headed to the hills to live with her grandmother, and she is focusing on slow living. And there is something about this Insta that is just so soothing and easy to watch. The sound is brilliant. She goes back to just making things and sorting things and doing things. And it is just beautiful to watch and is a nice sort of escape. So beautiful scenery, beautiful sounds, and really interesting where you can't see going, oh, what's she got there? Is that tofu? Oh, what is that? What's she doing with those cabbage leaves? And all with a brilliant sort of soundtrack in between. So I would say if you are looking for something that soothes you and interests you and keeps your mind interested in something, that would be my go. CNLIZIQI. What's one of your favorite things, Nikki?
Well, I have been having a very difficult time with my three favorite things because I'm finding with all these people in the house all the time, I don't have a lot of downtime. For myself, like I used to. So things more that I like or make me smile or giggle a little bit. My husband, self-determined, triumphant return, where he shall now explain to us how we should do everything in the house. So, usually he's here every second weekend. And to be fair, he has always been frustrated by the way that dishwasher is handled. But he now will give instructional videos on Instagram on how to pack a dishwasher. And in fact, he just You know, and then he will clean a room and say, this is how this should have been done. You know, this should, what's all this doing here? And I'm like, well, there's a reason that's there. And there's a reason that's there and this and that. And it's, but no, it's like he is here now and he shall advise us on how everything's meant to be.
So that's one of your favorite things?
That's what it, that, well, it's favorite because we all giggle at him a little bit. It.
So we all are like, side of it. Now I, watched The Good Liar with Helen Mirren and Ian McKellen the other night. Now, it wasn't outstanding, amazing, fantastic, but it was, once again, soothing, easy, not too hard, not too distressing, easy to watch. Another one that's a good one, like The Good Liar, is Enough Said with James Gandolfini and Julia Dreyfus. Neither of these movies are brand new, but yeah.
Obviously
yes.
not.
Yes, with James Gandolfini being leftist for quite some time. It was the last movie he made, and it is one of those, very simple relationship movies, dating, mature age, you know, easy. So I would throw those two in. The Good Liar is more you spend the whole movie trying to work out who's conning who. You can work out that there's a story behind the story. It's about Ian McKellen being a con man who's trying to con Helen Mirren out of all of her dosh. But you know from the very first moment that there's more to Helen Mirren than what meets the eye, and you're just trying to, the whole movie you're trying to work out, well, what is it? What is it that's going on? So, I would recommend those two as an escape. What about you? What are you watching?
Well, I'm going outside every day into the glorious sunshine in Hamburg because there's the big joke that, you know, summer, spring, autumn, rains all the time. Corona crisis, sunny. It's been sunny ever since we've been inside. Ever since the corona crisis, it's been sunny every day. So that's been good. The series I've looked for on Netflix, now I'm determined, Kirsty, to be the only person in the world to never see Love is Blind or The Tiger King.
I might be with you. I think I might be with you on that.
But what I have seen is that Riverdale season 4 is back. So Riverdale, of course, a teen drama, probably teen because it's a little bit more adult themey and, you know, based loosely around the comics, the first season maybe. Now it's sort of just down this rabbit hole. But the thing that's really great about it is that so Luke Perry was Archie's dad. Uh-huh. And Molly Ringwald is Archie's mum. So, like, it's all got all these sort of blasts from the past, from the 80s era that sort of play these roles. And, of course, between seasons, Luke Perry unfortunately passed away. So the first episode of season 4 was about he passed away. So they had a story around that. And the story was that he stopped on the side of the road to help a woman change a tire and, unfortunately, a teenage driver hit him. Didn't see him, whatever. Anyway, so Archie goes to the site of the car accident with Betty and Jughead and Veronica, and the woman who he helped is there laying flowers. Who is it? Shannon Doherty. Ooh. So it's a whole play back on Beverly Hills 90210 where, you know, the whole Brenda and Dylan thing and, you know, all the gangs back together. So unless you're our age, you don't get that. Like if you're a teenager watching it, you'd be like, okay, so there's the woman, you know, there's the woman who we helped with on the side of the road. But it's sort of like a throwback to. So I assume that it's okay for Generation X to watch Riverdale. Anyway, that's what I'm going with.
Right. Is it well written?
No, it's a teenage drama. It's not well written, no, but it's just a bit of escapism. And I think I'm all for escapism rather than reality TV right now. I mean, I'm not a reality TV at the best of times, but I'd rather just watch something that's got nothing to do with anything.
Speaking of reality TV, we did have the grand finale of Australian Survivor last night, which was absolutely fantastic. But that wasn't what I was going to tell you about.
We are all living in Survivor now, Kirsty.
But we don't all look like the Golden God, which is a Survivor reference. So the last one I have is I watched Rick Stein did a series called Long Weekend where he goes to a different location for each sort of long weekend. Bordeaux is one of them. Berlin is one of them. sort of anywhere you can go, sort of leaving London and sort of have a couple of days. I absolutely loved it. And I think in a time like now where we're all sort of not able to travel, maybe the old food show where you can travel and you get to see a bit of the countryside is definitely good for the soul. I really enjoyed the food. I haven't been a massive Rick Stein fan in the past, but I did find him very comforting to watch. He goes back to his little cottage in the UK and makes things that he's found while after being away for the weekend, which is really kind of lovely as well. But one of the things he said in it is that food is a byproduct of events, meaning that, you know, things happen that make us then cook certain food or think about certain food or, you know, whatever. I wonder, Nikki, whether there'll be a whole food revolution from our current time, right? Because people are home having to think more about coming up with something new and doing the best with what they can. But I wonder if we will start to grow more of our own food as well, but we will all get a little bit more, or will we, sadly, all just use Uber Eats a lot more?
Well, I think that's a thing, right? So everyone's posting this, you know, mindfulness and, you know, we're all going to change because of this. But are we? Because 5 minutes later, like when we can go back to what we had before, will we? So I read something about there was a disruption to, in 2014, there was a disruption to the public transport in London. And so people had to, it went for a period of time, and people had to find new ways to get to work. So they had to change their habits and whatever and do things differently. And then when everything got back to normal and they could go back, 5% of them stayed doing the old way, which they found more efficient and more helpful and whatever. But 5%, that's tiny. That's really, like, that's a really small percent of people that stayed changed. But I don't know. I'm just looking. I need to find more German Instagram accounts to follow, because you cannot buy yeast in Germany. There is no yeast to be found in any supermarket or any shop anywhere. So there must be all flour. So there must be so much baking going on that I am totally missing out on, because missing out on seeing, because you cannot buy yeast or flour. And there's so there's some sort of great German bake off going on that I'm not in on, and I want in.
I know. Do you know, I talk about things you can't find in the supermarket and whatever. I sent my mum, because that's another thing. It was my mum's birthday yesterday and I couldn't go and see her, which I found very hard to deal with. But so I sent her a package, and in that package was two rolls of toilet paper. Because there's still
that's a starter pack these days, right? Like every gift starts with toilet paper.
And then a Johnson's baby powder, like they use talc powder, her and dad always have. I don't even want to think about what they're doing with it. But I sent her some of that, because she mentioned she couldn't find it in the supermarket. I mean, this is the weird thing with having older parents at the moment, is you're trying to do everything you can to keep your parents inside, right? You find yourself having these ridiculous conversations with your parents where you're telling them off for going outside, and did you really need to go to the post office today? You know, couldn't you have gone to the post office on the day that you, you know, went to the supermarket, and can't someone do that for you? You know, it's just this constant, did you need to have the man come and put up the fence today? Like, what do you mean dad picked up his tools and carried them to the car? but it comes from a place of love. But
it comes from a place of love.
Anyway, hey, Nikki, I guess we better go. We've been going for quite some time now, but it was...
We have, I'm sure. I promise to do good editing and then send it to you so you can do the real editing. The cutting. But okay, so this is it. Our time is now. Yeah. So, Fatarati, we want to hear from you too. So, and we have the resources to do it. So we would love you to go to twofatexpats.com and go to SpeakPipe and tell us, what are you doing? What are you doing during the lockdowns? How does your day look?
Yes.
What can you see outside the window? Can you buy yeast and flour? Is there a toilet paper crisis? Tell us a joke. Tell us something funny. Tell us who you are and where you are. Now, you can either do that by going, of course, to twofatexpats.com. But if you can't make that work, you can always just record a voice memo on your phone and send it via email to twofatexpats@gmail.com. And we can also get it. And we'd love to have an episode where we hear all about the Fatterati globally, where you are, what you're doing, and how you're coping.
Yes, please. Yes, please. And I think we should have a little Two Fat Expats coffee morning or wine time at some stage, Nikki. I might try and set that up.
Well, some of us will have coffee and some will have wine.
I'll try and set that up for Friday. So, yes.
Okay.
But anyway, I will speak to you soon.
I'll speak to you soon, and good luck with G for chemo tomorrow.
Okay. Bye now.
Bye.